They say Jemima's term is broken, she got from eight, I mean, being versus 12, 30, God, I'm just saying, it's 43. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 12. So then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit are the first fruits. We also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now, if in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. We've been looking through the study in the book of Romans. Paul is writing to people in a city he hasn't visited yet. He's been going throughout all of the Mediterranean area. That would be all the known civilized world at that time, the entire Roman Empire, preaching the good news in cities and places that had not heard the gospel before. And now he's going to go to Rome. He plans to go there. He said, but first I've got to go to Jerusalem first, but I'm going to come visit you. I've been intending to do that. But let me explain the gospel to you. And he starts out by explaining about the gospel starts with us understanding there's a judgment day coming. A judgment day is coming against all the ungodliness of people. People who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And we cannot be saved from God's judgment by our own efforts. We can't be saved by keeping God's law. It's impossible to keep God's law. We can only be saved by faith. And the law of God is to show us how impossible it is for us to please God on our own efforts. To show us we need help. And we, who by faith are saved, are not any longer condemned. condemned man is one that is facing a punishment. There's a phrase that's used on death row, folding. And the people, when the person on death row is heading to execution, they precede him by saying, "Dead man walking." He's a dead man, he's just walking, but he's heading to his death. Well, we are not dead men walking. We are not facing the penalty that we've faced before if we have put our faith in the completed work of Jesus Christ. We are not condemned. We are rescued from our slavery to sin, and we're given the gift of eternal life. And then Paul explained two different mindsets. The mindset that's set on the flesh can't please God, but the mindset set on the Spirit of God pleases God. The mindset set on the flesh, what's in it for me, what can I get out of it, leads to death. The mindset that says, what does God offer me to do, leads to life. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, and it cannot please God. The one focus that we should have is on pleasing God. Just like an Olympic athlete focuses on the goal, the win is the win. We need to focus on the goal of pleasing God. And then Paul goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit being within us and what the Holy Spirit can do. He says, first of all, brothers and sisters, verse 12, we're not obligated to live according to the flesh. We don't have to follow our old way of doing things. Now, when I was in the military, I had a uniform that I needed to wear on certain days, and they told us what uniform to wear on which days. Depending on where you're stationed, you wear one type of uniform or another type of uniform. I still have my dress blues and dress whites hanging in the closet, which reminds me of how that I assume that they're sitting there. But I don't wear that uniform anymore because I'm not part of the military anymore. But some people are still wearing the uniform of the old sinful nature. We have been free from that, and we're not obligated to put on the old sinful nature uniform and do what pleases the old sinful nature, because we have been free from that. Not only that, but the word says in verse 15, or 14, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Not only have we been freed from slavery to sin, and we have become slaves to righteousness, but we have been adopted as God's children. We have a new relationship. Before we were enemies of God, now we're God's child. Now, think about your children. Your children you treat different than other people's children. Now, when you see a wall, there's a poster with Lucille Ball. If you don't remember who Lucille Ball is, she was an actress in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And there's one poster that we're looking real strange that says, when you suddenly realize there's an enormous, because sometimes you're in the grocery store and you're hearing children scream. That's not mine. But when you suddenly realize it's yours, you have a responsibility. Those children that are screaming and throwing things over the aisles, you don't want that from your children, that you take special care of your children. Now, your children, you give the presents to. Your children, you provide meals for. Your children, you provide clothing for. Your children, you drive them to school and drop them off. And then they get to open the door. Now, but we take care of our children differently when someone is not related to us. Well, we Christ is true. And He treats us to take care of us differently. Not only are we God's children in a distant relationship, but it says we can cry out, Abba, Father. Now, that's the equivalent of calling out to God, Daddy. Dad! And an intimate relationship, not a distant relationship. We have moved from being an enemy to God to being able to be in God's arms as His child. We have a new relationship. And if we're God's child, we are heirs of God. Now, I don't know if it's just me, or if you get bills in the mail, or now they send to you text messages, because they don't want to. They want to charge just as much for the bill, but they don't want to send you a letter. Or if they send you a letter, they're going to charge you more. But we sometimes look at all those bills and, wow, this is overwhelming. Will I have enough to pay all the bills? Sometimes we think we don't have enough. That's because we forget our God, our Abba, Daddy, Father, everything comes to everything. And He has a place of prayerfulness where money is of no value. Precious metals are used as foundation building blocks. Gold is street name. We are heirs of the family. We're children. Heirs only belongs to God because He has a kind. So when we look around and see all the problems, financial, this or that or the other, or trouble, we remember whose child we are drawn. We're a child. And we don't have to worry about everything. But God not only reminds us that we're adopted, and reminds us when we face trouble, that is nothing compared to what's going to come. I was thinking back to my wedding day, and after our wedding, we had a little meal, but we had a flight. We were flying from Idaho to California, and we had to meet that flight. Now, we had strategically hidden our luggage, because we knew our friends. They were sneaky. We knew that we might get to our destination and it might not be our luggage or inside the suitcase. Or there might have been something else in there, a big dead fish. Well, we are rushing after the deal, trying to get our luggage and get to the airport. It's just rush, 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 rush. We get to the airport, find out we were the only people on the plane that was waiting for us to get there. But we were rushing, thinking at that point we're going to miss the flight. We weren't going to miss the flight because we were the whole passenger manifest on that little plane. And then all that rushing around was pretty late. We got out to California after our room and forgot about all that, but that's for a while. Now, it's dangerous. And the trouble we face right now is just going to be like that rushing around and get to the flight waiting for us. And everything's great. That's why Paul says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." It's going to be better than you can imagine. It's like that song, "I Can Only Imagine." And then I recommend that movie, and "I Can Only Imagine" too. It's got here. I'm not getting any commission. Well, we can't imagine how glorious it's going to be in heaven. The way people are treating each other today makes me look forward to heaven, and it reminds me of an old comedian. And he said he got a vision of heaven, and he got a vision of hell. He saw hell first. There was this big banquet table full of all kind of wondrous food. And everybody was sitting at the table. They had one arm tied behind the back, and on the other arm was a 3-foot-long spoon. And they couldn't get the food to them. I said, "I don't want this. Let me see heaven." That is exactly the same thing. There's a difference in this. They were feeding you. Today, people are at each other's throat. They're more divisive, more looking for ways to find a reason to hate someone else than to find a reason to love them. That's why God has promised to be different. He said they will know your insight. Jesus even said, "Love your enemies." You're going to be different than the rest of the world. We are looking forward to something that's coming. But as I said, we don't imagine what's going to be. And we hope for what's to come. Paul said, "You don't hope for what you see. You hope for something else. We're hoping for heaven, where everything has been prepared." Paul even talks about how creation is even looking forward to that time when God's children are redeemed. Because creation, the planet, is under the curse because of man's sin. Adam sinned, and God said, "Now, part of the consequence of your sin, you're going to have to work hard to get food." Before that, he just walked through the garden and took it off. The food, he grew on his own. He didn't have to work it. He just took care of the garden. But now we have to work on the sweat of our brow. And there's thorns and thistles, all kind of trouble because of sin. It's affected all of creation. But the Holy Spirit, remember, the Holy people for us to come. The Holy Spirit knows what pleases God. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes when we're in the midst of that trouble, it's just, "Help, God." And sometimes we can't get the word out. He said, "The Spirit intercedes for us. The points that words cannot express." And I remember what Pastor John MacArthur said when he came to that passage. He said, "Scripture says words cannot express it, so don't expect me to tell you what that means. The Holy Spirit can communicate what the true desires of our heart is. that we truly want to see God honored, but we don't know how to respond in the middle of the thing we're going through. The Holy Spirit works for us, so we intercede because the Holy Spirit knows to make things for us. And then we're told in verse 28, we know that all things work together for good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. Notice it does not say, we know that all things are good. All things work together for a good purpose. There is a reason for everything that we go through. Everything that God brings us through is trials, tribulation that make us more than what God wants us to be. I think of Michelangelo in making a statue. It said that what he did, he took a block of marble and chiseled away everything that was not the statue that he wanted to remain. Sometimes we were a block of marble, a chisel taking off a piece of our existence would not seem very good. That's why sometimes trials are being justified. God is making us into that He is the Father. He is the Father. We are the Father. And then, Paul is in verse 20, this passage. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. And I should start in verse 1. For those He foreknew, He also predestined. What does foreknowledge mean? It means God knew ahead of time those that were going to accept His offering of forgiveness. And those that God knew were going to accept His forgiveness, He predestined us to conform to the Jesus. He's going to work in our lives to make us how He wants us to be. Christ-like. And those that He predestined, He also called. We are called His children. And He has called His children to those other people. And those He called, He also justified. Remember, we've studied justified before. It means just as if I've never sinned. We are declared innocent on judgment day. And those He justified, He also glorified. We're going to have a new glorified life. When we get to heaven, my hips are not going to hurt when I get up from a chair. I'm going to be able to be pain-free. Sin will be done away with. There will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain. And so Jesus was the first one who was glorified. Jesus, after He rose from the dead, He appeared in a locked room, disappeared from another room, ate the fish, they didn't touch Him. Our bodies were much better. But we still be able to recognize Him. Do you have the hope, knowing that you can call out and bring up the Father in conversion? Do you recognize that you're a child of the King? Do you understand that everything that belongs to God is provided to you at His time? Do you know that no matter what you're going through, He's there? And he's working to make you more than people. Not to the fearsome creator God. Not the creator God. So we can call him God. Lord, I thank you that you have adopted us as your children. And you are working through our lives right now. We are going to conform to the image that you have presented, the image of yourself. And one day, we will be glorified at work for you. Let us remember we're your child. We don't have a distant relationship from you. Let us rejoice in you. And let us keep the hope of what's going to come, even though we cannot imagine how great it's going to be. We just need to remember it's going to be great. Jesus.